Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So while what's going on in Virginia, and look, I'm predicting McCollum's going to lose, and you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with the messaging that came out of it. And I argue if Washington doesn't look as chaotic, if Manchin doesn't pull whatever the hell he's pulling, I think you got a better shot. If you had some things that you ran on and go, hey, look, we're making lives better. That's the message. The message is still you got to bring home the bacon. And we've got to make people's lives better. So while I think the bipartisan infrastructure bill is extremely important, the other part of it is too. I think getting granny some chompers and some hearing aids is a good thing. I think getting kids education, a great thing. Negotiating over prescription drug prices, an absolute no-brainer. But here to talk about if we get one, both, or none of those pieces of legislation, I've asked Tim Driscoll to come talk with us. Tim is the president of the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers, the BAC, the Bricklayers Union. Tim, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, good evening, Rick. Good to be with you this evening.
So, you know, we're looking at what has been fairly chaotic in D.C., and I would argue a public pie-fighting contest that should have never happened and should have never had to happen. So what are your thoughts? Do we get something out of all of this? At the end of the day, do they stop and get something done?
We do. Look, democracy is a messy process. I agreed. I'd like to have seen some of this hashed out before it hit the TV screens. But there's good pieces in both infrastructure and Build Back Better. We need them. They go together. You know, it's not one or the other. That's the talking points of the Republicans, that we can't walk and chew gum. Well, guess what? We can, and we will.
And we better. I mean, ultimately, we better, or 2022 is going to look like what's going on in Virginia. Because at the end of the day, you got to make people's lives better. And both of these legislation pieces of legislation do that. One on the side of getting the roads outside my house, you know, paved and getting us some broadband access that we desperately need, especially in rural communities. And then the other stuff that's going to help us when we get older, help our children. So much stuff that should have been done over the last 40 years.
Absolutely. Look, again, these two aren't in opposition to each other. They complement each other. We need the roads, we need the bridges, we need the infrastructure, but they all get us somewhere, right? At the end of the day, you get on a road, you get on a plane to go somewhere. And those places are the housing. It's where we get our health care. It's where our kids get educated. All those things go together. And you're right, Build Back Better has great things. Look, our members, bricklayers, tile setters, plasterers, point caulker cleaners, they all have the same needs. They have kids. They need pre-K, childcare, huge credits for those folks. For our retired members, hearing benefits, lower prescription. We're talking bread and butter issues. That's what we need. Those things have to happen together, and they will.
Yeah, no, this is where the Democrats need to get back to. While the Republicans right now are off on this loony fringe, I won't wear a mask, and I'm afraid of some theory that's critical. Democrats got to go, look, we care about the ham and eggers. We care about the people who are going out there doing the work, the families that need this stuff, but you got to get it done. Now, ultimately, you know, I'm happy to, and I'm thrilled to hear a labor leader go, yeah, we care about both. Because normally, you know, hey, we want the work. We want those roads. We want those bridges. We want that work to be done, right?
And we do. There's no contradiction in those two things. You know, this false argument that's being proffered, the folks who are now suddenly fiscal conservatives, when for years we ran up trillions of dollars in debt for tax cuts, for wars overseas that didn't benefit working people. Now we have legislation that can actually improve our lives. Yeah, count me in. I'm there.
Yeah. Now, again, you know, Manchin seemed the other day to say, you know, he needs this strategic pause because he's afraid that it's too much. And I've got this position, and maybe you'll disagree, coming from one of the poorest states in the country, wouldn't you think that, you know, big and chunky and bold is something that you need to bring home to help make West Virginia a better place for working people? And maybe even go, hey, use the power of being the most important senator to go, hey, we want that new technology, those solar plants. We want those geothermal plants to come right there to West Virginia. That just seems like common sense to me.
And you know, Rick, I think at the end of the day, Senator Manchin will be there with us. Joe knows who his constituents are. It's not playing out ideally the way we would have scripted it, But he knows he's got to deliver for West Virginians. And the best chance he's got of doing that is both build back better and infrastructure. So we're going to get there. It's going to take a little longer than we'd like, but I'm confident that that's in the cards.
Are you concerned as I am that, you know, I know we're talking about it's going to take a little bit longer and hopefully we get there and all this stuff. Are you concerned like I am that it's going to take so long that it doesn't matter in the next election cycle and that you end up in a scenario that we're maybe down the road? We have a Republican, you know, Senate and a Republican House that basically waters all that stuff down in the years after.
Look, that's a fair concern. And we know we face headwinds heading into a midterm, right? Historically, with two exceptions in the last 100 years, that is an absolute hurdle for the incumbent party that holds the White House to get over. But what looks important a year from now versus what's happening right now, I agree with you. If we're writing the script and we think Virginia is it, I'm not sure that that will be it unless we allow ourselves to fall asleep here on this. But I think if we hit the issues that we talked about earlier, if we're talking about delivering childcare for working families, we're talking about improving PK, we're talking about improving Medicare for seniors for some of the services they don't get right now, I think those are all winning pieces. And we put people to work. We've got a good economy, but could be a lot better. We're going to be in a much better position come this time next year.
Yeah, especially because the reality of the building trades are no longer just a male-dominated field. There are a lot of women coming into the building trades, and we need policies that are more family-friendly than we've seen in the past. And I think the Build Back Better plan does some of that. And the fact that they pulled out the minor paid family leave time in there is quite concerning to me.
No, agreed. You're right. Look, every industry in this country, and construction is no exception, needs to be welcoming and friendly to the next generation, both men and women. Absolutely, the women bear the brunt of childcare rearing. But the men are affected just as much. I can't think that there's a single individual out there who's a father to children who doesn't want to know those things are taken care of. So we need to take off those sort of blinders that make this a male-female issue. It's just a human issue. It's what we want to do for each other. It's the kind of workplace people want to go into. And that's what we need to do. That's what the building trades are becoming.
No, you're absolutely right. Now, for me in the Build Back Better plan, as a labor guy, I want to see some help in organizing. And there's still something there. They haven't gutted out yet. It's some fines that I think are important. Up to $50,000 fines for unfair labor practices, up to $100,000 fines for illegally firing someone. I think that's helpful for a lot of places, not going to matter to Amazon or these giant corporations, but I think it could be helpful.
No question. And so what you're referring to there, and we believe it's going to survive the parliamentarians' review in the Senate as to whether or not it fits within the four corners of a reconciliation package. But those increased fines are critical because right now, as you know, an employer is free to violate employees' rights, our ability to organize. And basically at the end of the day, they put up a sign that says, oops, my bad, we're back to square one. Put some real money out there, put some teeth in this, and we'll get somewhere because we know people want to be organized. The problem for us isn't bringing people into the union. The problem is for us competing with contractors who adhere to no standards. Just give us the opportunity to create a level playing field and we'll do the rest.
Yeah, it's what we desperately need in this country, and not just in the building trades, but across every industry.
Absolutely. No question. And look, there are so many pieces that are out there. Look, when we get pre-K and childcare, what's going to be covered in there is construction activity related to expanding those facilities, work for the building trades. When we get into some of the clean energy aspects with tax credits, labor standards attached to it. So these things have positives both on the work site and back in our communities. And that's what we do. We don't represent our workers just for 8 hours a day. We're with them around the clock from when they sign their apprenticeship papers to when they resign and retire into pension status. That's what we want to do. We want to make sure people are taken care of all the way through.
Yeah, it's important. Not too long ago, we had Jimmy Williams from the Painters Union on talking about windmills are important to the Painters Union. He goes, there's a lot of paint on those windmills. And you go, it's a lot of work. And it's the kind of work that we need. We need to be growing that kind of work, getting people back to doing stuff and earning a good union wage on top of it.
Yeah, look, and for us, you know, specifically, so some of the things we're interested in are carbon capture and sequestration. That work will actually involve our materials, our building process. So everything that's green is not, as some of our friends on the far right want to paint it as job killers. They're actually job creators. We need to be creative. It's going to look different than what came before, but that's been the case. You know, if I found a bricklayer from 50 years ago and showed him what a job site looked like today, he wouldn't recognize it. We need to get going and we need to be there ahead of the curve.
Now that's the kind of attitude that we need in the labor movement. This idea that we need to be moving forward, and not, you know, stuck in the buggy whips, which is one of those brushes that labor gets painted with.
Yeah, and unfairly so, of course, because look, labor, if nothing else, you go back in some of the nomenclature, right? We have business representative, business agents. What all that implies is that we understand the businesses we're in, whether it's construction, whether it's manufacturing. We're well attuned to what it takes for an employer to make money, how we make the money, and what our role in that is. And we're constantly evaluating that. We have to. It's our responsibility.
So what do people have to do to get this moving forward? Look, at the end of the day, we're in this spot where there seems to be a log jam. What do you want people to do? What are you telling your members to do in this moment?
Yeah, so look, I think the most critical thing that we can do is continue to communicate, as you said early on, which is these are worker issues. Put that lens on, whether you're talking to your senator, your representative. If you view these things through that lens, at the end of the day, we have to get these two pieces together. And we think we're going to get there. Taking a little longer than we'd like, but I'm confident that that's the outcome we're headed for.
Are you happy with Joe Biden's leadership on this so far?
You know, Joe understands, if no one else, the Hill better probably than anyone else who's ever occupied that office. I'm still thrilled every day when we have a president who doesn't stumble over the word saying labor, doesn't stumble over the word union. His heart, the people he's appointed, everyone from the Secretary of Labor through the Commerce Secretary, people that we can have conversations with. To say that that's a sea change is an understatement. Right now, we've got opportunities. And frankly, it's on us as well to make sure we seize those opportunities. So yeah, I am. I'm pleased with the administration. Can always do more, but it's been a good start.
Yeah, no, I'm thrilled. In fact, you know, just last week I was marching on a picket line with the Secretary of Labor here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania at the Kellogg strike, and commenting on, look, it's great to have someone from the administration actually on a picket line.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, he gets it. And if one was to go back and actually read the National Labor Relations Act, they'd understand that the U.S. government actually promotes the formation of unions, not standing there as a neutral that says, oh, Amazon today, maybe labor tomorrow. It's like, no, workers have the right to collectively get together and determine wages, working conditions, how they're going to perform their jobs going forward. That's a sea change.
No, and he's doing his job. I mean, this was the thing that I found most interesting. You know, we just came out of 4 years of the National Labor Relations Board, you know, basically beating up workers, to now one that's going to be an advocate to getting them their rights. In fact, it just came out the other day that, you know, they got back wages and fines, you know, far above what the year before and the year before that had been. That was a good sign to me.
Absolutely. Both at the labor board and in OSHA. Just think about that. Now, remember, we had no director of OSHA for 4 years when Donald Trump was in. 4 years, not 4 days, not 4 months, 4 years. This administration is going to make sure those types of inequities are addressed, and we can't ask for a better partner in that respect.
No, it's something we absolutely need, and as I've been saying for a while, it's good to have somebody who will fight for working people. Do you think the fine part of it stays? I mean, there's been some talk of, you know, maybe that getting yanked out like they did with the free college. Are we confident that that part stays?
So I think if we get past the parliamentarian, I think that does. I think there's support there within all parts of the Democratic, you know, both on the House and the Senate side. Look, it's going to be challenged legally. We know that, but Look, we take that one step at a time.
Yeah. And now, last bit here I got for you, because again, I want actions. What are you telling members? Should we be calling people? Should we be writing letters? Should we be marching in the streets? What should people be doing to get this moving in a direction that gets done?
Yeah, no, what we're asking our members to do is to communicate, and it's in a focused way with those members, that we've got to have both infrastructure and build back better. And it's been receptive by and large, what we're hearing back from our members. You get to their town halls back in the home district, they're not hearing anything to the contrary. So what we need to make sure is that what they're saying back home in the district is what they're living to up here. And that's going to be job one for us for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Do you see any chance of just the hard infrastructure bill passing as Joe Manchin seems to think is possible?
I don't. And you know, I think Joe is going to be where, again, look, the number is not going to be what we want. When the decision was made to separate these pieces, and look, hindsight is easy in retrospect. We knew there was going to be this battle going on, but we've got to have both pieces. I think everyone in the Democratic caucus understands that. Joe wants that, and I think we're going to deliver it for him at the end of the day.
Yeah, I hope Joe wants that. I really do, because we need it. Is there any scenario which you think, and this was my fear from the beginning, that we get nothing?
No, that's because I think that's just mutually assured destruction between whatever warring factions we want to see within the Democratic Party. I think at the end of the day, common sense prevails. It takes a little longer than we'd like, but it has to.
Yeah. Are you concerned that nobody's asked the Republicans why none of them are supporting this? Why we're focusing on Manchin and Sinema and not one Republican?
You know, you're absolutely right, Rick. Look, it bothers me when I hear your infrastructure bill referred to as the bipartisan infrastructure bill, because it passed with 19 Republicans. And so that equates to 38%. And if my daughter had ever come home with 38% on a test, I would have said you failed. And I'm sorry, they get no credit on
that
front.
There you go. I agree. Tim, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, Rick. Good to be with you. Good night.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.